From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Radio Hour as we launch our 23rd year on the air, thanks to the vision of Bishop Wiegand and the great support of Bishop Soto and so many of our listeners and our underwriters and so many wonderful guests we've had over the years. So thanks to all of you who have helped to support the Bishop's Hour. We are pleased to welcome in Valerie Ramos, who is the coordinator of diversity, equality, and inclusion at St. Francis Catholic High School here in Sacramento. Valerie, good day to you.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Doing very well. Good to hear your voice. You're a relatively new at St. Francis, is that right?
I am. I'm about just a little over a month in at St. Francis.
Are they? Have they initiated you the baptism of fire?
Oh yes, my feet got wet, and now I'm up to my neck.
Is this a new position, or is that a position that's always existed at St. Francis?
No, it's brand new, brand spanking new.
Yeah. Mm. And what? Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can read the title, but titles sometimes don't tell you as much as you'd like to know. What all does that involve?
Well, I'm there to be a face and a person for the girls of color, especially the African American girls, but all of them to have a place to go to speak with someone who looks like them, who understands the experience of being a person of color on a campus where, you know, there aren't so many of them, and just someone who understands and can kind of give them a listening ear and help the school to implement their racial reconciliation plan, which is an amazing plan that Dr. Javier Watson put together last year just to help the school accomplish some of their goals for diversity.
Dr. Watson being the principal?
He's the vice principal.
Vice principal, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that plan, exactly what it entails.
There had been some incidents over the last year or so.
Yes.
That were of a racial nature, and so the school, you know, put together a plan to help, how to bring more diversity into their hiring process, how to have some plans in place for when incidents have happened that they can, you know, respond to them quickly and smoothly, very systemically, and just to help the staff learn more about racial bias, about cultural responsive teaching, so that the teachers can understand the students that they're teaching and provide them an education that really helps to form the whole person, you know, including who we are with our different cultural backgrounds. So it's quite broad, it's quite all-encompassing, quite a courageous endeavor. I'm so very proud of the work that they have put together to accomplish such a huge goal, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
What is your background that you bring to the table with this?
Well, it's a long and varied career. I served as a teacher and an administrator in Sacramento City Unified School District for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. Kind of retired out of public education, and then got a degree in theology and served as a director of religious education at one of the parishes in our diocese for a number of years, retired from that. And then when I saw and heard, you know, the work that was being done and that was needed at St. Francis, I just threw my hat in. I felt the Lord saying, go over there and see if you can help.
Hmm.
And so that's how I landed there.
And you're one of the becoming rarer graduates of the University of Sacramento.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I have a sweatshirt that Father Prosciutti gave me. And it says University of Sacramento. I proudly wear it. And it's such a conversation starter.
Right. People are like, what is that?
They say, is that Sacramento State? What?
Right.
Is that You know, I said, no, it's the University of Sacramento. It's a Catholic university.
Yes.
Then they say, does it have a football team?
But, almost. We needed a couple more years to get that going.
Yeah, he worked very hard and had the big plans for the campus up, you know, I guess up in the Folsom area, I think. And
yes, that's right. That's right. What an amazing plan. And the several years that I was there, you know, from the inception until the time it closed, it was an amazing experience. The Legionaries of Christ, what holy, beautiful priests they were and they are.
Yeah, I was sorry to see it fall apart, but, you know, the Lord has his way and will have his way.
Indeed.
So what are your, what are your challenges in this job?
There's lots of perspectives on the different incidences that happen.
Right. And some of them well-publicized and some of them not so well-publicized.
And everyone kind of feels like their truth is the truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so trying to find that place of love and compassion and justice, you know, in between it all, just doing it like Jesus wants us to do it. You know, approaching the issues of racism and calling it out for what it is, but approaching it from a Christian perspective. You know, sin is sin, reconciliation is what's called for, and justice is called for as well. So being truthful, but also being merciful.
That's a difficult thing. I mean, there's just no way about it. I know that I've always felt, we're not talking about enemies here, but you know, just with sin, you know, or maybe someone who has offended you. And Jesus telling us to, you know, love, not just love one another, but love those who afflict you is really hard. And it's real hard to, number one, admit maybe you're wrong or maybe you didn't quite understand. And so you said something insensitive or did something insensitive. Maybe you did it out of, you know, anger. Maybe you did it out of hostility, maybe you did it out of misunderstanding, but it's real hard to just say, "Okay, forgive me," and let's. Where can we go from here? That's a hard thing to do.
For sure, and I mean it's hard because so much of it is built upon habits and family culture, you know, and traditions that we've grown up with and has always seen right. And so to now be told that it's not right and that it's sinful, you know, it takes some real humility and introspection and conviction by the Holy Spirit to be able to face that and to discuss it. And that's why I and a number of us are very excited and happy about the bishop's pastoral letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was right and just.
Right.
I mean, he calls it out. And when we, you know, those of us in the Black Catholic community got that letter, we were so excited because it's like the first time in our diocese, well, you know, after Open Wide Our Hearts, but in recent times, that it's been acknowledged. And just that fact that he was so courageous to call it out was so affirming and encouraging and hopeful.
He did not mince words.
No, and it shouldn't be. It needs to be called out so that it can be seen and healed. You know, that wound needs to be healed.
How much of, you know, sometimes there's subtle racism. Sometimes there's overt racism. Sometimes it's just what you grew up with. And sometimes, you used to think it was regionally based, but it's not regionally based. It's everywhere. I mean, it is truly everywhere. And, but getting people to overcome it, it's just an enormous challenge. I remember my mom, she grew up in North Dakota and married my dad. They moved to Portland, which was my dad's hometown. My mom said she never met or saw, and it goes back before TV or anything, an African-American person before she moved to Portland. And she was probably close to 30 years old.
Yes, and that's not an uncommon story.
And And you know, I know it's just the statement. We've seen it in the news with John Gruden. Oh, I don't have a racist bone in my body. You know, which is sort of offensive in itself, I think. But my mom was, you know, she was just a wonderful, loving person. But I'm sure in 30 years in North Dakota, she could have heard all kinds of things.
Yes. And I mean, we just kind of believe what we hear from the adults around us. And so, you know, the bishop even talks about that in his letter, that, you know, a lot of these feelings and thoughts and beliefs we are born into, you know, and so to kind of open our eyes to it. And that's what I think George Floyd, his murder did. It opened a lot of our eyes to just the reality and the closeness of this and the pervasiveness of it. And so it was such a reckoning that it's shaken the whole world, and it's shaken the church as well.
Yeah, I mean, shaking the whole world is absolutely true. I mean, it's like it was a moment, no matter who you were, no matter what your beliefs, no matter what your prejudices or whatever they were, to watch that man die in those circumstances was horrendous, but it was eye-opening. I think it was eye-opening to everyone that this happens, you know, and now unfortunately it seems that some of that has faded.
Yes, and it didn't take long, did it?
No, and it was interesting because for about, I'd say maybe 6 months there, it was sort of this universal, and then suddenly we started hearing almost people coming out on the quote unquote other side, you know, and it reminds me a little bit of the law, and I won't even name the state, but where teachers are being told that if it's a controversial or some such, you know, in the news type, they have to present the other side. And they were even including one supervisor was saying that includes the Holocaust. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there is not another side to the Holocaust.
Exactly.
That's just a fact.
Exactly.
You know,
well, you know, what is reality? It is called into question so much in these last days that it's very concerning. And as I work with these high school young ladies, you know, and get a sense of where their minds are about things, and teenagers in general and young people in general, reality, you know, what is reality anymore? Really, it's just a very confusing time in this world. So it makes me so thankful to have faith and to have church and to have a place where we can have some sense of truth, you know, some place that we can just come to for truth. And but how to convey that to the kids. You know?
I'm presuming your job isn't just as a counselor as people come to you, but that you're supposed to be very proactive.
Yes. You know, it's hard when in any high school is constantly something going on. Something new is breaking. Something new is happening. And so you're reacting. You're in a reactive mode. So making the time to be proactive and to work, you know, when things are positive and to get relationships established and things good, you know, is the challenge. You have to make the time to do that so you're not always reacting to everything.
So what was your charge when you were hired? What were they hoping or urging or expecting you to do?
Well, to assist in the implementation of this reconciliation plan, you know, which is very multifaceted. It has like 9 committees. So to assist in those parts that I can, you know, I'm working closely with the Black Parent Group. That was one of the outcomes of this plan. A wonderful group of parents who are so supportive of St. Francis High School. They want the school to succeed. And so helping them to have voice and agency on campus, and they will be the best cheerleaders of the school, you know, as long as they have that support to help them navigate you know, through the systems of a high school. So helping them, you know, to work their way through the systems of the school, working with the Black Student Union, which is also one of the fruit of this plan, working with the diocese and the school on hiring, which is also a part of the bishop's plan, you know, making our hiring processes more friendly, more open for people of color, right, especially for African-American people. So working on an ethnic studies program, which has been signed into law, but, you know, getting the foundation of that started at St. Francis. So all of the girls can learn about different cultures, you know, and the white students tell me just as fervently as the girls of color that we need to learn about other cultures. You know, we know all about the white culture. We don't know a lot about the other cultures that exist in the world. So, you know, it's right on time that the governor signed that legislation.
So St. Francis, of course, all girls high school. Is that becoming rarer or is that becoming more common?
Well, I heard that there's only one other one in the region, and I suspect that means Northern California. So I haven't heard of more coming around. I suspect it's not growing.
Of course, we have, you know, Jesuit, which is all boys, and then we have Christian Brothers and Cristo Rey, and they're co-ed. Yeah, so and there seems to be a different models all over the country. But I'd say you have your work cut out for you.
It's taken a lot of prayer. I have lots of people praying for me, and I'm always looking for more.
Well, add one more. I'll join the club.
Bob, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's and you know the other thing, and we and until one of our daughters just turned 20 the other day, a couple months ago, we had four teenagers in the house, and very, very active, and in paying attention to all issues. I'm incredibly proud of them for that. And yet at the same time, you know, I'm a generation apart, you know, and there are times when I'll say, okay, no, well, wait, don't go too far off on a tangent here. You know what I mean? And
I
go, and they really challenge me and my wife. And sometimes my wife challenges me and I challenge her or I challenge the kids. But to see how active they are and to see how many different opinions there are just among the four of them. And it's not contentious and arguing. It's in the best traditions of discussion.
Sure.
But you can really see, I mean, most of them, I mean, they're all different, but they've had different life experiences, but not dramatically. They've been in the same home and et cetera. That if I was this, had your position and these four were the students in my school, you know, that would be, you know, they'd be like, okay, you both sit down now, let's talk, you know.
Yes, well, now expand that out to 1,000 young ladies with all their different perspectives.
And I don't see any of them as having a mean streak or they see things differently.
Yes, they do. And, you know, they're so influenced by social media. Yes. I mean, it's such an influence on their day-to-day functioning that it really can, you know, create a whole lot of drama sometimes, you know. So they're learning how to manage it, and they're really learning how to self-care. You know, that is so huge for the teenagers, just the young people, all of us, but especially our young people. They have to learn how to manage the stress that they have in a unique way that we didn't have at that age. It's just a different time to be a young person right now.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I know, you know, it's like, How many hits did I get? How many likes did I get? How many people, you know, looked at what I, and I don't even know what they're, you know, Facebook, I guess, is now that's for a different generation. That's yesterday's news. It's all this other stuff. And I have my kids, I say, well, so what, tell me about this. Now, what's that? Yeah. And that disappears after 30 seconds, and what? You know, it's like, yeah, but you can screenshot it, Dad. You know, oh, okay, you know.
So, hey, you're doing pretty good there, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. I tell them, whatever you post, whether it's a photo or the printed word, assume one day that everyone in the world is going to read it or look at it. So just remember that.
Yeah, they're starting to figure it out as they see, you know, the collateral damage of what happens with their friends when someone makes a really bad decision that took like half a nanosecond to just, you know, post.
Well, and I think one of the problems with whether it's email or whatever else it is texting, is you get into almost a jocular kind of conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. And somebody pushes the envelope a little bit, and you push it back, and pretty soon you're saying things that you just shouldn't be saying.
That's right, and maybe that you really didn't even mean.
And you didn't even mean, yeah. It's the old, you know, somebody tells a racist joke, and the six people in the bar all kind of chuckle, and the racist thinks, oh, they all thought that was funny. Well, wait to hear this one, you know. And really, nobody really agreed with it, but they didn't know how to respond.
Yeah. Well, and so you know the listening circles, the listening sessions that are happening in the diocese that we're doing at St. Francis, that we're going to do at Good Shepherd, you know, we have this prayer service coming up on November 19th.
Right.
And it's going to be preceded by listening sessions at Good Shepherd. That's a limited group of people from Good Shepherd who are going to sit in circles and reflect on the bishop's letter and kind of just share perspectives about it in a really structured, kind of facilitated way so that people can have a chance to express those deep feelings in a safe environment, which is so important in terms of just being able to talk freely and feel safe about it is a healing kind of an experience. So we're really happy to do that, and then that'll be followed by a prayer service for racial healing.
Very good. And we talked with Father Bart Landry last week about this as well. And,
great. Okay. Yeah.
And now, tell us about the St. Josephine Baquita Black Catholic Ministry there at Good Shepherd.
Yeah, we started that 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It just started. It was February Black History Month.
Right.
We had the Black History Table started, and we followed the table up with a soul food dinner, and we showed the movie of Saint Josephine Baquita's life to the parish, and it had such a great response. Lots of people came out, and they were very supportive. And we thought, well, let's formalize this and make a ministry. And so a number of us got together, you know, for the purpose of, you know, the mission is to bring the gifts of Black Catholics to the forefront of the church in order to enrich and to serve and to educate, you know, our brothers and sisters in the parish to what, you know, being a Black Catholic means. So it's educational, and it's an opportunity for fellowship and for community. And that's really what it's all about. We, over COVID, we were meeting monthly. We would have speakers come in and you know, bring us some history, Black Catholic history or Black history of the Sacramento area together just to socialize. And, you know, it was really something helpful during those stressful days of quarantine and of the racial unrest.
Yeah. Did you invite Father Tolton to speak to you?
He's on our list.
He's on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a story that is. Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit more about the prayer for racial healing.
So it's Friday, November 19th at 7:30 at Good Shepherd in Elk Grove. It'll be about
a Friday
hour
night, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It'll be about an hour long. We'll have our wonderful pastor, Father Michael Vaughn, who I just cannot say enough about as far as his courage, you know, as a new pastor there to endorse and support so very much not only this ministry, but all of the endeavors that we, you know, we're trying to bring about, including this prayer service. He will be there, our vicar, Father Julius Kiyogora from Kenya, our deacons, and Father Bart will be there. And it's really, so this will follow the listening circles, you know, after people have had a time to kind of talk through, then we open up to everyone who's interested just to come out and pray and have some moments of silence and some introspection, some reflection, as we pray for unity and communion, because we need the Holy Spirit's help to do this kind of work.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, the first time I went to a Good Shepherd, I think it was the vocations dinner or something like that. And I went down to Good Shepherd. I looked it up and it said Racket Court. And I'm going, that's a strange name for a church. And by golly, I pulled in and there was the racket and the swim club right there.
That's right.
Yeah. Defined. Yeah. So, well, it's a wonderful parish for sure. And again, November 19, Friday night, 7:30 p.m. At Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove. Valerie, it's a joy to meet you, and I hope our paths cross again soon. And please don't be a stranger to this program. We'd love to have you back on.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
That's Valerie
Ramos, who's the coordinator of diversity, equality, and inclusion at St. Francis Catholic High School, a new program there. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff, and appreciate all you've done. We heard the sheriff speak at the Bishop Gagos Maternity Home dinner a few years ago. He was the keynote speaker and brought the house down. Welcome back, everyone. We're pleased to welcome in Rosie Hernandez, who is the director of formation at the Great Diocese of Fresno down in the San Joaquin Valley. Rosie, good day to you.
Good day to you. Thank you. It's nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you. Our former auxiliary bishop, Bishop Myron Cotta, was born and raised in the Diocese of Fresno, and is now the bishop in the Diocese of Stockton, right between us.
We're very proud. I got to serve under him. He was the vicar general when I first came to life.
Well, he was treasured here, and is doing such great work in Stockton. But he always spoke so fondly. I know he grew up in Dos Palos, and he just spoke so fondly of the San Joaquin Valley and the Diocese of Fresno.
It is a great place.
Yes, it is indeed. So tell us this wonderful event coming up November 4th through the 6th, a virtual event, as so many things seem to be. Hope, Heal, Renew, Our Journey Continues. Tell us a little bit about it and about your role in it, coordinating it for the Diocese of Fresno.
Yeah, it's a great event. We're really excited. This is our second one, and it was an event born out of several of us directors chatting and commiserating last year that we weren't going to be able to have our own in-person events. Mm-hmm. And so about eight of us got together and said, let's do something virtual that will benefit all of us instead of us each trying to do our own thing. And so it ended up being a great collaborative experience, and so now we're at it for the second time. So basically it's sponsored by many of us here in Region 11, but open to anyone. And it's all virtual. There'll be some live workshops, and then there'll be some that are recorded on demand. And just by registering, you can get access to all of the on-demand workshops up until, I believe, December 31st. And so it's a great deal because there's so many different workshops in English, Spanish, Cantonese. I mean, it's just an amazing event, and we're very proud.
Yeah, five different languages. That's
I know I missed a couple. English, Spanish, Cantonese, Mandarin. And Korean? I'm not missing one.
Let's see. I saw it there's Mandarin, Cantonese, English, Spanish, and where is it?
Vietnamese.
Yes, that's right. And I guess I think it was they had a special request. I think it was from the Diocese of San Jose for the Vietnamese.
Yes,
but there would be many people in certainly in the Diocese of Sacramento, and I think Stockton, maybe even Fresno, that would be quite happy with that.
Yes, we have several communities here, so. Yeah. It's really great. It's very outreaching. It is
wonderful, isn't it? Although throughout California, it's just amazing how many different languages are spoken, how many different languages we celebrate Mass in.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah, you think of diversity, you think of the Catholic Church, certainly, especially in California. So is each of the dioceses that are participating, are they all bringing something to the table, or some of them have just signed up and other people are doing it, or is speakers from most all of the dioceses?
The speakers are actually from all over the place. Uh-huh. So they're not just from our own diocese. Mm-hmm. Several of us are. I'm doing a workshop. My catechetical coordinator from Fresno is doing a workshop. Several of us are doing them, but also they're coming from different areas, from different publishing companies that sponsor speakers. So it's very wide-reaching, and we all kind of were able to add in our own gifts, and this is what's great about it. When we plan our own conference, we have to oversee every element of the conference, but by doing it with various directors, each of us has a different role. And so my role is I am helping to head the liturgy committee, so mm-hmm. we're planning all the prayers and that will be put together with different languages, people from different dioceses. We're also attempting to put together a virtual choir. Hopefully that will all come out very well, where people from all different dioceses are, turning in their tracks, their music, and then it's being put together as one collaborative musical event. So there's just a lot happening, and I'm very grateful that I have my part. I'm part presenter and part coordinator of one committee, but great, wonderful, talented people that are running all the other committees.
I saw a virtual choir. One of my daughters was in a high school choir during COVID last year, and it was so they had them each do their own piece, at home, and then they coordinated it, and each kid would come on separately, and until the whole board was filled up, and it was like, it was very moving. It was I can't believe how you could coordinate all that, but it was really, really well done.
It's a little bit of work, but it's worth it in the end. It's just like you say, it's very moving, especially when you see faces just from all over,
yeah.
different We all speak different languages, we're in different parishes, different dioceses, different parts of this region, and yet we come together in common in music and praising God in music, and that's just a wonderful gift.
And the diocese, absolutely. The dioceses that are involved are Fresno, Honolulu, for all of Hawaii, Las Vegas and Reno for all of Nevada, Monterey, Sacramento, San Bernardino, San Francisco, San Jose, and Stockton. So that's that's a bunch. That's 10.
That's 10, yes.
That's 10 in three states. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And several of the other dioceses are also, you know, advertising it and sending it to their people to join in as well. So even though there's only 10 of us that are kind of represented, it's really a regional event. Well, we've all kind of put in our two cents.
All the videos will be posted and through December 31st. You can even sign up after the event if you want to see all the workshops. All live sessions will be recorded and made available after the conference, and all pre-recorded sessions will be available throughout the conference. Again, it's November 4th through the 6th. It's only $25 to register. You have to bring your own lunch. And it's if you go to hopehealrenew.org to sign up, that's the easiest way. It's very easy to sign up for. Rosie, tell us about your presentation, and that will be in Spanish. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm doing a presentation in Spanish on just the various elements of RCIA to kind of give a little life and a little different viewpoint to the process of RCIA, which is one of my loves, is combining catechesis and liturgy.
And what do you do as director of formation? Define that a little bit for our listeners.
Well, I kind of do a little bit of everything, which is kind of the fun thing for me. My office covers several areas, and I have a small staff that I work with. So we oversee the formation and training and also help in the parishes with areas of catechesis, sacramental preparation, Hispanic ministry, youth and young adult ministry, family life ministry, lay formation, just all sorts of different areas. Anything that's pastoral, anything that has to do with the ministry of your parish, more than likely it comes out of our office. And mm-hmm. I'm very blessed with a great staff to help me do that.
How difficult has COVID made your job?
Well, it was really strange because when it first started and we first shut down, I thought, what am I going to do with all this free time?
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, we recognized the need that people had, that, you know, the hunger that we had to be community in some way or another. And so, you know, we really strived hard to learn different ways to communicate with people that we couldn't be in person. And so that made it a little bit more difficult in terms of logistics and kind of learning how to do it all at once. But it's been, on the other side of it, kind of a blessing because it really shows us that no matter what, we can persevere. We can continue. Our Lay Formation Institute continued without a blip. We didn't skip a week because people were committed and everybody learned Zoom in a week, and we were ready to go. And so it's yielded a lot of blessings. It's been difficult. It's been hard. I miss being around groups of people. I miss doing events like this in person because it's really the heart of our ministry. What we do is training and forming and hosting retreats and doing all that kind of stuff in person. But it's also yielded a few blessings. So I'm very grateful that we've been able to keep on serving God's people in the best way that we can.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's made me so proud to be Catholic and to be a part of this diocese and the Church Universal is to see when COVID hit and, you know, schools started closing down and businesses and then, you know, whole organizations like dioceses, you know, the pastoral centers are saying, you know, we're going to be working from home and this and that. Nobody tossed in the towel and said, well, we can't evangelize anymore. Everybody went to work instantly. And in some cases, like this conference, probably reaching more people than you would have in a live event.
Very true. It's more far-reaching. And in fact, it's not only these two events, but last Lent, we mm-hmm. also sponsored a Lenten retreat open to all ministry leaders in all of our dioceses. And so it's been really nice to collaborate with this wonderful group of directors. We all just get along so well, and it's been a lot of fun to work with them, even though we're only virtual and we haven't seen each other in person in almost 2 years. But we've almost monthly, we're on Zoom calls together and continually working together and helping each other to figure out new ways to continue to reach out to our people. So you're right, it's a blessing to see that we didn't just all stop. You know, I was home, but I think I worked more than ever.
Yeah.
those months being home from my dining room table. So it was still a blessing.
I've heard that story over and over that I never worked so hard, you know, but it's been... It just seeing how creative people have become, and there was no quit, and anybody was like, no, we're going to overcome this. God hasn't left the building. He's still with us. The truth of Jesus Christ is still with us. We need to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. And there's no pausing because of circumstances. There's no such thing as circumstances beyond our control.
Amen. I think one of the hidden gifts of the Holy Spirit is adaptability.
Yep. Yeah.
We just got inspired to find new and different ways to do things and just to keep on moving.
Well, it's wonderful. So do you get a chance to participate in the conference too, despite what your role is in the conference? Do you get a chance to be, participate in the other workshops?
Yeah, I think that's one of the benefits of having some of the workshops be pre-recorded. So my workshop is pre-recorded, so I don't have to be at a certain place at a certain time. So, yes, I do. I get to participate in the prayers. I get to go to some of the live workshops. I'm really excited. I'll be moderating a couple, so I'm really excited to be present with some of my favorite speakers, as well as we have in the morning, on Friday morning and Saturday morning, we start with a coffee hour where all of us are on just a Zoom call for anybody that just wants to jump in and say hi and maybe bring up a question or something that they need to commiserate with or anything. We're there to listen and to be with them. So, yes, we do. We all get to participate in very different ways.
It just sounds like just so rich with possibilities, in terms of all the just the different topics involved as well. I mean, I was fascinated by, the speaker on the 500th anniversary of Christianity of Catholicism in the Philippines.
Yes, we're very excited with Father Ricky Manalo. It's just so exciting to have him with us.
Yeah,
he's an awesome speaker, a wonderful musician, and he just brings so much of that culture to us that, for someone like, that's not my own culture, it's beautiful to have a part in that and to see that and celebrate together.
Yeah, and to see I'm anxious as well again to see the virtual choir, the meditation chapel, all the liturgy, and then I think the coffee talks are going to be very interesting.
They're a lot of fun.
you have to bring your own coffee to that too, right?
Yes, bring your own coffee
and creamer.
Yes. But one of the benefits is that because we all get along so well, it's great for us as well, the directors, to be there. But then we get to see our own people as they come on, and recognize faces and names, and it's a great way to connect.
Yeah, and again, five different languages, it's really impressive and boy, the Catholic Church is so diverse. Again, English, Spanish, Cantonese, Mandarin, and Vietnamese, all these different languages, but one conference, one people.
Yeah. One people of God.
Yeah, and I'm guessing God speaks all those languages.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well. I hope when he speaks to me, I understand. Yeah. Well, Rosie, it is a joy to talk to you, and best wishes on this great conference. Again, it's November 4th through the 6th. That's a Thursday through a Saturday, and there's even a free sample conference. A concert on Thursday night, a family frenzy free concert of music that takes place on Thursday evening. And if you like it, well, maybe you'll sign up for the rest of it on Friday and Saturday. Again, go to hopehealrenew.org. Rosie, God bless you and your work, and I hope our paths cross one day.
Amen to that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rosie. God bless. That's
thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Rosie Hernandez from the Diocese of Fresno, and she's the director of formation there. And, Gabe, this is going to be quite the conference.
Yeah, and I was talking to Deacon Kevin about it the other day, and he had said that he thinks a lot of people from our diocese will do really well sign up for it because we've done virtual conferences before, and
right.
a lot of success with it. And I think it'll be a great conference. I think they keep numbers on what diocese signs up. I think Sacramento Diocese should try to beat everybody. Not that I'm competitive.
You're such a competitor.
I know. You know, I think it'd be nice if we had more signups than everybody.
Here's the Catholic view. We want every diocese to sign up with the exact same number.
Exactly. So the last minute.
One up or one down, everybody's equal.
At the last minute, that one person from Sacramento signs up.
I know you're going to jump on
it. It's great. Yeah, I'm going to wait for the numbers to climb up. I think it'd be great, though. I think it's great. I think it's what? She say 12 dioceses? 10 or 12, something like that, diocese?
There's 10 this year.
10 this year. Wow, that is a lot.
Added two from last year and probably next year. Well, you never know. I mean, it's one of those things that's happened with the virtual is in many ways people have learned that, we're reaching people we weren't reaching before.
Yeah, which is a great segue into what I came in to talk about, our podcast.
Oh, yes. Same thing.
Same thing. What it does is if you subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Plus, you can... or Google Play, I think it is. You can bump up our numbers with them, which means our show itself gets kind of pushed out in the algorithm, as everyone likes to talk about, with the podcasting algorithm. And because of that, what ends up happening is more people will hear our podcast if they type in Catholic podcasts or Sacramento. Right. California podcast. It'll pop up more and more people will hear our show. More people will get the message that we're pushing out. More people will know more about our diocese. And I think that, you know, sort of taking up the call from many years ago from Catholics Come Home kind of thing, where right. it's like, you know, there's a lot of people out there maybe who have fallen a bit away and they look up, you know, some sort of podcast in Sacramento. And here we are.
Doug Sherman, the founder of Immaculate Heart Radio, telling us all these letters he had, real letters back before emails, about how, you know, someone in the hospital and they were listening to Immaculate Heart Radio,
mm-hmm.
Which ultimately merged with Relevant Radio. But at the time, it was just Immaculate Heart Radio. And all these stories, living testimonials from people about how it changed their lives, how it brought them back to the faith.
And our podcast, I mean, we do a lot of regional stuff here in Sacramento, a lot of stuff with our diocese. But like this conference, this is something that anybody around the world can log on to. I mean,
literally around the world.
Around the world. And so can people listen to our podcast around the world. It's, you know.
It's mind-boggling.
It is. I look at the numbers from where we get fans. We have fans in other countries. And, you know, that's great. I mean, we want to reach everyone in our diocese. Ideally, it'd be nice to have everyone in our diocese listening to us and then sort of branch out is great as well. But that's the power of the internet and the podcasting. You can reach an audience that would have formerly never known who you were.
Or with traditional radio.
Right.
Which we're still on traditional radio.
Yeah, we're still on Relevant 9 p.m. at night.
And 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings.
I just did one of my own pet peeves. I said p.m. at night. Of course it's at night. It's p.m. It's not a.m. I know. I hate that redundancy. I do it a lot. I never do it, so I apologize for everyone who just heard that.
Your only option is to say o'clock, and that's not really very fun.
You just say 9 p.m.
at night.
Or 7 at night. Yeah. I guess you could say.
So awkward.
Yeah, it's a real awkward. And it's hyphened like.
O'clock.
Well, and it's a hyphenated word.
No, it's apostrophe.
Yeah. So it's like what words is it?
It's Irish.
Yeah.
O'clock.
Oh, there you go. Yes, there was a clock family. They changed the name at Ellis Island. It's a long story. Yeah, no, but I mean, but the thing is so if you don't already subscribe to the podcast, you should do so. Nothing happens as far as like you don't get bothered, you don't get spammed, you're not going to get those, you know, likely scam phone calls.
By us saying, oh, we saw you signed up.
Right.
How about this?
Right.
We're not going to do that.
Fortunately or unfortunately, Bob and I will not be calling you at home.
Yeah.
You want to subscribe. That way, if you miss an episode, this just happened with you, and I just emailed you the link. You said you were trying to find an old show of ours back in December, and I found the link and sent it to you. And it's just that easy that if you go, you know, I really wanted to know more a little about Dale Alquist. He was on the Bishop's Hour a couple weeks ago. I'm going to go back and listen to it. I mean, you can do that even if you don't subscribe, but you can do it easier if you subscribe because you can just go right to it.
Right.
So I think that it's something I you know, obviously I always come on here and try to remind people of every so often, but I just think it's a good idea. And you know,
subscription is free.
Absolutely free.
No strings attached.
I was going to say, you don't even have to get it for anybody for Christmas. It doesn't have to be a gift. It's free. Just show them how to do it on their phone. That'd be a good gift.
That would be a great gift.
Yeah. So if you have, you know, parents who, like my mom, who she'll ask me for, I don't know, at least once every couple of weeks how to get on a podcast, I have to show her, and it's, you know,
you
fine.
You just show her how to get on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't show her any others.
Of course. She wants to know which ones I'm on. It's funny, I never list the ones I talk to you on, so I'd, on our description, so I never really remember which ones I'm on. But yeah, so I think that'd be great to for people to do.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. St. Francis Catholic High School will have its a Day of Giving Thursday, November 4. You go to stfrancis.org/Day of Giving, November 4th at our great St. Francis Catholic High School. Retreats for Healing After Abortion, Rachel's Vineyard, is a safe place to renew, rebuild, and redeem hearts broken by abortion. Weekend retreats offer a supportive, confidential, and non-judgmental environment where women and men can express, release, and reconcile painful abortion emotions and begin the process of restoration, renewal, and healing. Retreats for 2021, there's one more in Spanish, November 19th to the 21st. And then next year, English, February 4th through the 6th, and August 12th to the 14th. The retreat weekend is designed for 12 to 15 participants. Registrations must be received 5 days prior to the start of the retreat. Interested participants will receive a registration packet and hold a phone appointment prior to being fully registered for the weekend. The fee includes lodging for two nights, all meals, and retreat materials, but no one will be turned away for a lack of financial ability. Financial assistance is available. All messages, all participation is kept in strict confidence. You can call 916-733-0161 or email projectrachel@scd.org. Also, the All Souls Day is coming up Tuesday, November the 2nd, and our great Catholic cemeteries will be holding Mass Tuesday, November 2nd, 10 a.m., celebrated by Father Stephen Wood in the mausoleum at All Souls Cemetery and Funeral Center, 550 Glen Cove Road in Vallejo. During All Souls Day, Catholics are encouraged to visit cemeteries to gain plenary indulgences for our loved ones who are no longer with us. Our cemetery is consecrated grounds and a wonderful place to visit. On All Souls Day, you can call them, All Souls in Vallejo, at 707-644-5209. Also, Tuesday, November 2nd at 10 a.m., join Bishop Soto in the chapel at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, 6509 Fruit Ridge Road in Sacramento. Plenary indulgence, visit a cemetery and pray for the dead November 1st through 8th. And there are other requirements to that, but you can find those online as well at scd.org. For questions at St. Mary's, call 916-452-4831. And then at Calvary Cemetery and Funeral Center in the mausoleum at 7101 Verner Avenue in Citrus Heights, again at 10 a.m. with Father Stephen Spencer. The phone number there at Calvary is 916-726-1232. And then El Dia de los Muertos, again, Tuesday, November 2nd, but this one will be a bilingual outdoor mass at 3 p.m. at St. Mary's Altar at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, again, 6509 Fruit Ridge Road in Sacramento. You're invited to join as we honor the faithfully departed. Please bring a photo of your loved one to be placed on the altar. You'll place the photo on the altar prior to Mass. If you want to keep your photo, you can come remove the photo at the end of Mass. That, again, will take place at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center. Give them a call at 916-840-2138. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
I feel it burning deep inside of me. I feel your spirit is moving.